The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
And if you want to see me reciting the cash machine readout, you can go on Pete the Builder's Instagram. Is that where that's going to end up, Pete?
Yeah, I just took a great video over there. What a professional. What a professional.
This is, of course, Peter Finn, better known as Pete the Builder, and he's here to answer any of your building, DIY, contractor-type questions. 53106 or 087 1400 106. We have a lot already in, ranging from stuff like, how do you get scratches out of an induction hob to how do you remove mould? Before all of that, one of the common themes that's coming in, and I've had a couple of people say this to me privately as well, is a huge desire among people to invest in generators, because after what happened with all the power going out, there's a sense of, well, if I had a whole house generator, I'd be able to keep myself going while the ESB did their work. Is it worth it?
Yeah, it is. Look, to be honest, Anton, on the East Coast, we had, you know, a small period of time of downtime from the ESB. And you know what? It was, sounds terrible, but it was kind of a bit of fun. Oh, the power's gone, but we kind of knew it was going to come back. Most people got it back within a couple of days. Then you go to the Midlands and it was a lot longer, and then you go to the West Coast and South Coast of Ireland and it was a lot longer again. And there were some people who had no power for, you know, something like 20-something days, nearly longer, you know. So, and again, you know, if you're in the full of your health and you're, you know, all fit and healthy and you've no issues going on, that's fine. But if you've got someone who's got special needs, if you're elderly, if you've got medical requirements, being without power for that period of time is literally stops you dead in your tracks. Also, it's not just the power that goes. If you live in a rural area, most likely your pump has gone as well, so you have no fresh running water. So people have definitely been saying to themselves, well, I'm not going to let that happen again. Unfortunately, the reality of it is we're probably going to have more of those type of storms. I know it is a 1 in 100 year storm, but, you know, the climate has changed and we are getting more extreme weather. So
what do you do a whole house generator, or do you do a small portable generator that'll give you your fridge and whatever other thing you need as you switch it in and out?
Well, it's totally up to yourself. So, you know, you have to say to yourself, what am I happy to have? So, like, first of all, you know, light is the first thing that people always want. You know, you're lighting candles and stuff like that. So if you get yourself a small generator and you connect it through your fuse board into your house, is I suppose the starting point. Or you can just set up a generator outside and run cables off and run leads off it, is the sort of more basic version of it. But again, people are now considering having a backup generator, which is basically a generator which they can choose what size of a generator to buy, and then they can put in what's called a changeover switch. So basically you're on the ESB for 99% of the year. Big storm comes in, you let the storm happen. If the power goes down, you can then very simply go out, start up your generator and change your changeover switch from ESB to generator, which then means that your generator is now supplying the electricity through your fuse board into your house. If you don't put in the right size generator, you will not have enough power to run the full house. But you know, you'd
also have an interesting lesson in what takes like, you'd kick on a kettle and suddenly discover, there we go, that was that.
Yeah, the generator will start shaking and you know, the power will start flicking, the lights will start flicking. But again, if you invest, if you're in an area that is exposed, excuse me, or if you're in an area that has had this issue, you know, sometimes it is worth investing in a decent sized generator. Now look,
how much?
There's loads of different types of heating systems, loads of different sizes of houses, there's loads of different things like that. I got absolutely slated on Instagram because I put up a price for doing the changeover switch. Look, a changeover switch to buy is only a couple of hundred euros, but it depends then on your system. It depends on how much wiring has to be done. You can't put your generator close to your home because it's going to be loud and it's going to have fumes coming off it. So you would need to put your generator a bit further away. So genuinely, you would want to allow about 1,500 euros to 2,000 euros. Here comes the abuse because people are saying that was so expensive. But, you know, if you do that, you'll have a proper system.
Does that include the purchase of the generator?
No. You see, it's up to yourself then what size generator. You can buy a generator, literally, you can go online now and you can buy a generator for 700 euros. But you're only going to get a very small amount of power out of that. But then if you want to go for something that gives you much more power, you're going to have to go and spend it more and then get more power in it. The options are yours, ladies and gentlemen. I am not telling you to do it.
Petrol or propane?
Well, petrol or diesel, as they say, you know, would be what I would go for because it's just most readily available and, you know, they're easier to buy. Like, you don't have to go for anything that's too deluxe. It's really the power that it's given. You're only looking for a simple thing. You're looking for, it has to have 220 power is the only thing I'd say.
Text saying, I live near a hospital. I didn't seem to lose electricity. Does being near a hospital have a bearing?
Oh, that's a terrible conspiracy theory. And being near a government building, you may get power as well. No, look, in reality, yes, there's no doubt about it. The ESB have to protect those type of areas for very genuine reasons. And all of those places and big event places would all have backup generators that kick in immediately as soon as they go. again, what I'm talking about there is a more simplistic version where you have to actually go out and manually flick the switch and turn on the generator. But again, it's not that hard.
It gives you a week with lights and a little bit of heat and a fridge that works. That's not
and there you go, the fridge. Like you could lose €1,000 of meat in your freezer.
And the fridge only sips electricity as well. You can keep it going for a very long time in a gallon of gas. Question for Pete. We have two bedrooms upstairs from our kitchen and living room. What's the best way to sound insulate to not have noise flow from downstairs to upstairs? We already have thick underlay and carpet. And while we're on this topic, I bought a new semi-detached house. Great location, but I can hear everything from the adjoining neighbours. Can you soundproof? So a lot of soundproofing issues generally.
Okay, let's do this, Anton. So sound, you've got two types of sound. You've got airborne sound, which is you reading out the cash call 2 minutes ago is airborne. And then you've got impact sound. That's me knocking off the table. So the two different types of sound require two different types of solutions. You can stop airborne sound by putting in fiberglass. You can get acoustic fiberglass that goes in between your joists. Then as the sound is raising or traveling, it's the echo that really creates the bounce of sound, and the more you nullify that, like you've got done here in your beautiful studio, you've got airborne acoustic insulation on the walls.
So does that mean pulling the ceiling to get at the joists of the floor?
Yeah, or lifting the floor, or if you're building your house, put it in from the start. If you've got a, you know, if you want to watch the television downstairs while there's a bedroom upstairs, I did it in my own house while I was building my house because my sitting room was below one of the bedrooms. The other thing then you can do then is impact sound, which is your tick underlay helps that. But again, if you've got a big cavity below that and you've got sound raising, the other thing that can happen is with a neighbour's house next door, they're stomping on the joists. And an old problem used to happen was they used to connect the joists between the two walls, and then the person inside's bounce was actually coming into your home. You can put acoustic insulation up against the wall as well, which will help. And then a rubber mat underneath your underlay is how you stop your airborne sound. Look, every situation is different. Another big thing as well is make sure there's no bounce in your floor. Because like if you've got, again, this is where the sound going the other way around. Like if you've got movement, that will create squeaks and will create sound. Whereas if you've got enough, if you've got a robust and solid floor, you won't have any problem. Like again,
and are you talking there screwing down the floorboards or sistering in extra joists?
A bit of both, you know. So you're putting in more like extra bridging, which is the supports that go in between the joists to prevent the bounce. That's why in a lot of apartments and sometimes when people are building houses, they put in concrete floors because it eliminates all of that. And it obviously eliminates an awful lot of fire issues.
None of that sounds cheap though. You're in for, it's going to be, if you're committing to it, it's going to be relatively expensive because you're pulling down a lot of
stuff. Yeah, well, commitment in life is good as well, though, Anton, because you get the results. If you don't put the commitment in, you don't get the results.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it. We live in an old 1940s terrace house. The bathroom gets very steamy. We open windows as much as possible, but should we add a vent to the outer wall? We're starting to see some mold in the back corners. God, there's a lot of themes because we've a lot on mold as well. Also, there's a vent in the wall over the stairs, small box room, bedroom, the coldest room. Can we cover it up or is it necessary? And then there's another one about mold as well in a bedroom. Mold reduction, presumably for a bathroom. Yes, put in a vent.
Yeah, so what causes mold? Condensation causes mold. And how does that happen? We always say this when we're in here. Heat rises, hits the cold surface. How do you prevent it? Ventilation and insulation will stop condensation. So the first one there, should we put a vent in? Absolutely, yes, you should be. You should put a vent in. Not only that, it should be a mechanical vent. So basically, mechanical vent is your traditional old vent that when you turn the light switch on, the vent comes on. Some of them used to be very noisy back in the day. Remember when we had a child, I was like, take that thing out because the poor child couldn't sleep. They've got much more silent and they've got much stronger as well. So basically what you're doing is you're taking the steam out of the room and you're letting it get out. You have to make sure that it's exiting outside, and then you're drawing in fresh air.
They also come with timers now as well, where when you kill it stays on for half an hour and cleans out the steam.
Absolutely, and they also come with humidity sensors and all sorts of really nice things. Also, sometimes they come with anti-draft vents where basically the wind from outside doesn't come whistling back in at you. The technology in construction has gone through the roof. Us people in construction are very technical, you know, Anton. And if you put a bit of research into it and you look outside the box that we've known for years, there's a huge amount of really, really good products out there. Ventilate your house. You can put in central ventilation systems as well, which will basically massively change the air in your home, not in a negative way where it's making the home cold, but bring in fresh air. And life will come back into your home, Anton, and you'll feel yourself growing and feel yourself having a smile on your face.
Also, another one saying, there's a vent over the stairs, small box room, bedroom, the coldest room. Can we cover it up or is it necessary?
It is necessary. If you're sleeping in a room, especially a box room, because it's a smaller one, as you breathe, you're putting out carbon I think it's monoxide and
and you might have problems if you're putting out carbon monoxide. I think dioxide would be all right.
Sorry, it's a Saturday. I'm having a day off. But honestly, as you breathe out, you're creating vapors. Small room, you're going to have condensation issues. You're going to have problems. So ventilate every room that you live in. Don't be afraid of ventilating it. Insulate as well if you can. A small box room wouldn't cost you much to insulate.
Now, there's one here where I know I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to commit to it anyway.
Go for it.
Text saying, I need to get my roof cleaned of moss. How should I go about it? What type of cleaning is best? Here's my theory.
Go for it.
I think leave it alone, Grant. Nobody ever had a significant problem because of a mossy roof. It'll be fine. Ignore it.
It's got the rustic look. I agree with you sometimes. But what the only problem that you can get off a mossy roof is that it fills up your gutters and then your gutters don't run properly and you can have problems with your downpipes fill up. But look again, small risk at that. So there's lots of different ways that you can remove moss. The most simplistic way is get up on the roof with a power hose and you can power hose it off. If you're too aggressive, you're going to cause damage.
Not that we are recommending this. Trained professional scaffolding, trained tie professional. In, all the rest of it.
Absolutely. And you see lads doing it and it's a very effective way of doing it. And you often see one roof is done on a road and all the rest of them aren't. And there's that one sticks out like a sore thumb. But there are also some detergents and chemicals that you can use. Some of them are aggressive. A lot of them these days are not because they simply won't be sold if they're too aggressive. And then the old traditional way is that you can put a copper wire, and this is what you used to see in old buildings many years ago, just a simple copper wire all along the top of the ridge. The rain falls. Hey, Bobby, the rain falls. It hits the copper. A little bit of a chemical comes out of the copper and it runs down the roof, kills all the moss.
No.
Your roof is gorgeous. The neighbours isn't. You're the main man on the road then, Anton.
No, you lie. Copper kills moss.
Copper kills moss. And it's simple, just a simple wire. It's a really old, you used to see it done in churches and places like that, you know, because they could afford the extra few quid for the copper. It's a traditional way of doing things.
I was going to say, is there any risk of anybody climbing up on your roof and nicking it?
Well, these days, the copper is more expensive.
And let me see, squeeze in one more before we find out what Bobby has coming up. Another one. The slates on the roof have faded.
Yeah.
Do you recommend painting them? A lot of people worried about their roofs.
Everything in the world has a life expectancy, including slates. So it depends. If you buy a natural slate, you're going to get, you know, years of value out of them and they will look very similar.
Pricey, though.
They are pricey, yeah. And again, a bit like we said earlier on, an investment in your home, you know, you're going to get more for what you pay for. The traditional slate that you would know, the man-made slate, some of them only have like a 30-year expectancy when they will completely fade. And some will then start, you know, giving you issues. If you live in a coastal area, and again, if you live in the west of Ireland, that's why you would see different products being used. And that's why an awful lot of the natural slate products are used in coastal areas.
Would you paint them?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't live with myself.
Rip it off and replace if it's getting to the end of its
life. You do see it happen and it is semi-effective, but man, it looks terrible.
Always a gentleman. Thank you kindly, Peter Finn, otherwise known as Pete the Builder.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.